Good morning.
Good morning.
Lots of excitement. The biggest thing is we have a new member to the congregation. And some new grandparents. So little Mackenzie Grooms has joined our church family. Congratulations and love to the whole Grooms family. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We believe that through Christ Jesus we have been reconciled to God. We are forgiven and have received God's promises. Therefore, we will seek to love as we have been loved. We will seek to reconcile as we have been reconciled. Let us reflect on this as we listen to Diane as she plays the prelude. And let's make sure that all of our cell phones are quiet. Okay, before I forget, the first announcement I have is we need a super quick meeting of the diaconate after the service this morning, downstairs. Okay? All right. Volunteers are still needed for the pumpkin patch. Talk to Mike Ward about that. The proceeds from this year's patch will be shared with Central Wyoming Hospice. There will be special events, October 8th, Blessing of the Beast, October 15th, Craft Fair with Hot Dog and Chili Lunch, October 22nd, Quilt Show and Sale, October 29th, Trunk or Treat. There's more in the bulletin, and we have Mike Ward with us to take care of something he wants to tell us.
Well, you notice I have orange on today. Last week I did not wear orange and made an announcement about pumpkin patch, and I got called out for it. Thanks, Rob. Anyhow, we still have about 7 2-hour slots available to fill, and that does not count for the 30th or the 31st, because I hope we're sold out by then. But back in the back on the education bulletin board, there's those that are marked in yellow. We're still looking for people to sign up. As Linda said, this year's nonprofit that we're going to assist is a hospice. They were on our list from a couple years ago, and we had several people mention that that would be a good nonprofit to donate to, and they are in need of some funds. So we stepped up, and we're going to do that. Otherwise, pumpkins hopefully will arrive a week from Tuesday. I have not heard yet from the truck driver, but hopefully we will this coming week. We're going to put the pallets out next Sunday. We have a couple of four-wheelers to help transport them into the patch. And so if you would like to help put out pallets, you got a strong back. We'll see you at 2 o'clock next Sunday. Another item that we're going to do on the 29th, I believe that's the last Saturday, is we're going to do the trunk and treat over in the west parking lot. But I'm going to challenge everybody here in the church. We're going to have a pie contest. It will cost $3 for you to enter. And there will be a prize for the best fruit pie, the best cream pie, and the best pumpkin pie. Now, how many of you like pie? Okay. Now I know who to ask to be judges. I've already asked, because I know Dennis Baker, when he stands up here, says he talks about pie a lot. So I already corralled him to be one of the judges. He's got to check his itinerary to make sure he's free that day. But he jumped on the opportunity right away. So I'm still looking for two more judges, and we will be in contact with you as we move ahead. I also got a new sign, thanks from Ted Grooms, that says Pumpkin Patch, and we will hang that somewhere in the church. So the time is coming, and you only have to put up with me for four more Sundays. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. If you're interested in helping with Worship and Wonder, they could really use some volunteer leaders, so talk to Erica Stupak. She can get you all lined out and signed up and taken care of. If you would like to help with Children's Sunday School as a substitute teacher during worship, please talk to Jennifer Groom, our newest grandmother. Make sure you sign your friendship sheets and pass them along. And are there any other announcements? Got really quiet all of a sudden. Okay. So let's stand and greet one another, and then we will sing our opening hymn, In the Bulb, on page 638 in the hymnal.
Yeah.
join me in the call to worship? Come, people of God, seek the one who gives us peace.
Come, be reconciled to God, our neighbor.
Come, dwell in the shelter of the Most High.
Come, be reconciled one to another.
We confess our sin and acknowledge that we have hurt others.
We pray for peacemakers.
Come, people of Christ, follow the one who brings God's peace.
We come to learn love and carry God's reconciling peace into the world.
Let us pray. God, who created a rainbow of individuals, we call out to you. We confess that all around us differences are used to separate rather than enrich us. Suspicion seeps like poison into our hearts. Love of neighbor does not guide our interactions. We do not welcome the stranger, but seek to build walls rather than bridges of understanding and goodwill. Lord, we confess that we are silent in the face of injustice and hate. We have not spoken truth. Instead, we have dwelt in denial, ignoring the reality that when one suffers, all suffers. Failing to see that when one is diminished, all are diminished. We desire our own comfort and have given it the false name of security. We have been deaf to the prophets and have not listened to God's word to fear not. God of new beginnings and resurrected life, come and write your covenant on our hearts. We desire your instruction and long for your word so that we may learn the way of love. We hope, Lord. We seek the fulfillment of the kingdom. We look forward to the day when all people will live in unity, when all will love you, O Lord, with heart and soul and mind, and love others as they love themselves. We recommit our lives to your will. May our word and deeds reflect your will on earth as it is in heaven. And now let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
May be seated. All of our hymns this morning are old favorites or new favorites of members of the choir. I invite you to turn to number 548. We'll sing the first two verses of The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. With a pianist like that and a hymn like that, we could just sing all day. Our children at this time are invited to go to Worship and Wonder and the Young Disciples class. They can follow Mrs. Grooms to their rooms and enjoy a special time of worship and learning. While the little ones head out, I invite you to look at the back of the bulletin where there's a list of prayer concerns. We have a few names to add to the list. The rosebud on the table is in honor of Mackenzie Nicole Grooms. She was born at 1:07 a.m. yesterday, September 24th. She weighed 7 pounds, 12.4 ounces, and was 20.25 inches tall. Welcome to little Mackenzie. Maggie is doing well. We think that mother and baby will head home from the hospital tomorrow. And as Grandpa Ted said, Nicholas made it through just fine. The symbol of the rosebud represents the beginning of new life. The tiny flower is placed on the communion table with the knowledge that as time passes, that flower will open. So too does an infant's life open to God with the loving care of a congregation. And our church family looks forward to welcoming Mackenzie. Our card shower today is for Dorothy Jones. She is at Shepherd of the Valley Nursing Home, and Dorothy has reached the realization that she is not going to be able to return back home. She just needs too much assistance at this point in life. It's rather discouraging for her, and she's feeling rather alone. I'm very thankful to Martha Wallace for visiting with Dorothy at breakfast time every day out at Shepherd. But Dorothy would really like other visits and calls from church members just to help her feel connected with the congregation. Congratulations to Jean and Maria Weiss, who were married this fall. Jean isn't here this morning, but you know, he usually sits in the front pew of the back section, and there's a cute dark-haired little gal who's been with him the last few Sundays. Turns out they got hitched. So congratulations to Jean and Maria. Prayers for Cooper Goodman. Cooper was in a very serious car accident early in the week. He is recovering, but he has a torn ACL that will need surgery. Cooper and the other teenagers in the car were actually very fortunate to survive the crash. After they got out of the vehicle, it did catch fire. And there's not much left of that car. So we are just thankful that Cooper is alive. Prayers of healing for him and prayers of peace for his mom, Carmen. John and Sharon Lansing asked for prayers for friends of theirs, Leroy and Susie, who live in Sheridan. Their grandson died in a car accident this week just south of Sheridan. And they had another relative a few years ago who was also lost in a car accident. So it's just a very hard time for that family. Maggie Grooms would like prayers for her grandma who lives in Gillette. After Mackenzie was born, having no connection at all between the two events, 97-year-old grandma fell and broke her hip and had surgery yesterday. So prayers of healing for her. The missionary we're lifting up today is Paul Turner, who is serving in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We continue to pray for those affected by storms this week, for refugees around the world, and for Brianna Black as she works in Tanzania. It's a joy today for Peg Jackson to have kids with her in worship this morning and for Donna Klinker to have two of her nieces here. We are thrilled to welcome you all to worship today. Are there other joys or concerns, other prayers we need to share? Steve?
October 17th. However, she
She's been offered her dream job in Augusta, Georgia through the VA, so there's the invite within the VA for her talent. So she's looking forward to taking the job in Augusta instead. So prayers for her as she looks forward to a major move far, far away. And then the third one was my memory.
It's a good thing Cindy was here to remind Steve of what should have been number one on the list of three. Prayers for Cindy as she has surgery this week. Prayers for Melinda as she begins an amazing job in Augusta, Georgia. And prayers for the whole family as you all finish major reconstruction work at home and get back to sleeping in your own bed. Thank you for sharing all of those. Are there others? Tom.
Yeah, I have all with that for about 7 years. If somebody had pneumonia that Justin did, Simmons, pretty bad shape. He's been in the hospital for 2 weeks, all swollen up for pneumonia. So Jeff asked me what we pray for his son.
Prayers for Justin Simmons, who has pneumonia.
I'd like to pray for the Denver Broncos. They're playing out of town today.
Prayers for the Denver Broncos as they travel, for safe travels. I have to tell you, at the hospital waiting for Mackenzie to be born, I was in the waiting room with the grandpas, and UW was playing. And they asked me to pray for the Wyoming Cowboys. I did, and they lost. So you all pray for the Broncos. I won't say it out loud, but God bless them. Somebody else. Wanda. Prayers for Wanda Gokenauer and co-workers as there are a lot of changes and transition happening where she works. Prayers of strength for you. Kristen.
Prayers for my son Eddie, who dislocated his knee Wednesday, and we're praying that the MRI on Wednesday says there's nothing floating in there, that he can just heal and go back to being the active 13-year-old that he's not able to be right now.
Prayers for Eddie, for his knee, that it will indeed heal, and that'll be good news from the MRI this week. Charlene. Prayers for a safe travel for a granddaughter and friends coming home from Thailand. Debbie.
We had some people, like 4 people here yesterday for the Home of the Silence Ministry that are from the Catholic Church, and they're considering maybe doing something or helping us, so it's a joy for us. It was nice to have it there. And they were taking notes and videotaping, so kind of cool.
Prayers of blessing that perhaps St. Pat's will join in the sandwich ministry. Yes.
As they deal with the loss of Brian, and for the other biker, Bill Spicer, who is still in Billings and hopefully coming back to Casper tomorrow.
Prayers for so many in our community, especially Brian's family, affected by his sudden death, and prayers for Bill Spicer continuing to recover from that same motorcycle accident. I know that there are other prayers in our hearts and in our lives. I invite you now to bring those in silence to God as we pray together. O God of life and love. We thank you for being with us always in times of joy and times of trial. Lord, we confess to you that there are days when we are not worthy of your love. Forgive us our sins. Help us to mend the brokenness in the world for which at times we ourselves are responsible. We pray for healing and hope for all those we have named today. God, we ask you to comfort the family of Brian Scott and watch over Bill Spicer as he heals in a hospital in Montana and then travels home to Casper. Lord, we pray for all those who grieve. We ask for healing for Maggie's grandma recovering from surgery on a broken hip, for Cindy Huckfelt as she has a major procedure tomorrow, for Justin living with pneumonia, for Eddie with a dislocated knee. God, there are times that the healing we need is not just physical, but emotional and spiritual. Lord, we pray for strength for Wanda and co-workers in a time of transition. We pray for your guidance in Melinda's life as she moves to Georgia to take her dream job. We pray for patience for Steve and Cindy as they finish major projects at home. Lord, we do ask you to watch over the Broncos. We're not praying, God, for a win, but we're praying for safety for athletes who travel and share physical skill that brings delight to many. We pray for safe travel for Darlene's granddaughter coming home from Thailand. And Lord, we ask you to comfort Leroy and Susie as they mourn the death of a grandson in an accident in Sheridan. Oh God, we pray for people of all ages, in all stages in life. We pray for Dorothy Jones and others who live in nursing homes who are mourning the loss of independence and homes filled with memories now to be a resident under someone else's care. We pray for courage and patience and peace. We pray for Cooper and for teenagers who drive, that they might not be reckless. Lord, we pray for Paul Turner and the work he does in the Congo, for refugees around the world, for citizens in Charleston living with unrest in race relations, and for the members of Central Christian Church in Pueblo, Colorado. Oh God, there are so many that we name to you who need your blessing. From the youngest to the oldest, Lord, we know that you watch over each of your children. On this day, our church family gives a special word of thanks for the birth of Mackenzie Nicole Grooms. Her arrival has been so anticipated. We are filled with joy at knowing she now lives in our world. We pray your blessing upon little Mackenzie, on her mom Maggie, and her daddy Nicholas. Oh God, for all those we have named before you, through concerns spoken aloud and prayers whispered in our hearts, we give thanks, Holy One, that you hear your people when we pray and you answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. was a little bit of a surprise when I got the word that Maggie Grooms was at Wyoming Medical Center. Her due date was not expected to be until October 4th. But she was having some blood pressure issues, and the doctor had said things might happen a little sooner. Friday morning, she went to a doctor's appointment at 8:15, planning on going to work afterwards, and the doctor said, "No, I think today's the day. You're going to the hospital." It was exciting and anticipatory moments of joy to share with Ted and Jennifer, with Maggie's parents as well, sitting in the waiting room at the hospital. At one point, we were just visiting. There really wasn't anything that Mom needed. They were just waiting for labor to progress, and she was being so well cared for. And Ted asked me, as pastor, how often does it happen that you celebrate the first of life and the end of life with the same family? And I said, those are very special connections. And so I've been thinking over those times when, as pastor, I've been blessed to be present for birth and death, both. Most recently, that happened for me with Michelle Elser's family. I had the privilege of marrying Michelle and Tyler a few years ago. And then I got to meet baby Reese when he was born at Wyoming Medical Center, and we dedicated him here in worship. And not too long ago, Reese's great-grandma, Bev Miller, went to heaven, and we celebrated her life in this place, here in this very room. The birth of babies is marked with joy, and the passing of saints is remembered with sorrow, but also with joy and thanksgiving for the life of those who live in faith, here in this very room. At every stage of life, we are nourished by the gift of faith given us through Jesus Christ. When we share the Lord's Supper, when we take the bread and pass the cup, God is present in our midst. Whether we are at a point of new beginnings or marking an ending or a transition, Jesus is here. All who come to worship, who long to know God's love in Christ, are invited to share in the Lord's Supper. To prepare for communion today, we'll sing out of the Purple Chalice Praise Songbook, number 158, "Come to the Table of Mercy." We'll sing it through two times.
Thank you.
We are invited this day to eat of the bread of salvation, symbolically the very same bread that Jesus broke at the table with his disciples in the upper room long ago. After Jesus had shared supper with them, he took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This is the blood of the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, shed for us. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray."
I see your crimson mercy shimmering in this cup. I see your life being poured out for me. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. In Jesus' name, we celebrate this communion.
The Reconciliation Ministry of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, was born out of the civil unrest of the late 1960s. Our church strives intentionally to be an anti-racist and pro-reconciling part of the body of Christ. The reconciliation offering of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, is one specific way that we try to live out God's call to be a movement for wholeness in a fragmented world. Reconciliation funds are divided 50-50 between programs in the general church and grants handed out by individual regions. A recent reconciliation grant in the recent Rocky Mountain region was used to help Samoan youth travel from Utah to the last General Assembly, allowing these young people from a unique cultural background to experience firsthand how they are part of the broader church. A future grant may be awarded to help Wyoming churches build relationships with Arapaho and Shoshone neighbors and carry out a special service development project on the Wind River Reservation. The Reconciliation Ministry invites the church to listen to once silenced words of our racial, ethnic communities, learn from their wisdom, and gain insight from their leadership. It calls the church to discernment and prayer, study of the scriptures and reflection, dialogue and table fellowship. The true goal is to transform, strengthen, and deepen the church's spirituality, resulting in a community that understands its mission to be about bringing justice and salvation to the world. Your offering makes a difference in the church and in the world. Thank you.
Almighty God, loving parent of all people, bless these gifts that have been given today and bless the givers. May this offering go to further the mission of this church and to be a witness of who we are as your faithful children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Be seated.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
The scripture today, the first scripture, is from Psalm 91, verses 1 through 6 and 14 through 16. And it's on page 548 in your pew Bible. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and his buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. The fifth chapter of Matthew is where we find the Sermon on the Mount, including those beautiful verses known as the Beatitudes. This morning we'll hear simply verses 21 through 24 from Matthew 5. In your pew Bible, it's the New Testament, page 4. Jesus is speaking. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you're angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Choir and Diana, as always, thank you for the music. Will you pray with me? Oh God, we long to be reconciled to you. And we confess that reconciliation with our brothers and sisters and the human family is sometimes a daunting task. Forgive us our shortcomings and help us do better. Lord, bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they may be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Psalm 91 is a beautiful psalm of protection, a promise to God's people that he is watching over us. No matter what happens, God is with us. It is challenging sometimes to think of how far God's protection extends. When the Psalms were written, God's people were known as the Hebrews, the Jews, the Israelites, those who specifically followed the law. Yet God's love extends beyond that first part of God's family. Through Jesus Christ, any who would choose to follow Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior, many others, all Christians around the world, are adopted into the family of God. And so God's love extends beyond the law of the old covenant, the first promise, to include the new covenant, the new promise described in the New Testament, to include those who come to God through Christ. God's love is so vast and broad that God, the creator of all life, claims all people as children. Sometimes it's hard for us to think of God's special love that's given to us through Jesus also extending to others who don't know him at all or don't know the Lord in the way that we do. And yet, God's love is so vast that in every nation on earth, in every tribe of the human family, the gift of life is given. Babies are born, people breathe and live and work, and God watches over them. And God's heart aches and breaks when they hurt one another. This morning and next Sunday, many congregations and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ across the U.S. and Canada and indeed around the world are observing the annual reconciliation offering. Reconciliation ministries started specifically in our denomination in the era following the death of Martin Luther King Jr. It grew out of an awareness raised in our country in the civil rights movement that there was and is today inequality between the races. And if God calls the church to love all people as Jesus loves, then the church must love all people, regardless of the color of skin, the height or weight of an individual person, the language they speak, their economic status. It would be so nice to be able to say, we don't need the reconciliation offering anymore. We finally figured it out. We're living as people who love one another. But it takes looking no further than this week's news at the violent protests in Charlotte, North Carolina, to know that we still live in a world that too often is divided by race or class or misunderstanding. So the call is still given to the church to be reconciled. Perhaps life as a Christian would be easier if Jesus himself had been a biblical literalist. If Jesus had just looked at Scripture and quoted a verse or two and said, that's it, that's all there is to it. You know, the bumper sticker that you may have seen, God said it, the Bible wrote it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, it would be nice if it was that simple. But there are some times that Jesus says things that are pretty challenging and rather complex. In Matthew 5, Jesus is quoting the law. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. It would be great if he just stopped there. We've got the Ten Commandments. We know we're not supposed to kill one another. Okay, draw the line in the sand. We're done. It's black and white. It's simple. But Jesus didn't sit down and shut up. He kept on talking. You shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with your brother or sister, you'll be liable to judgment. Whoa. Jesus, can you back up a little bit? I have never killed another human being in my life. Thank you. I'm done. It's good. Wait. I cannot say I have never been angry with another person. I cannot even say I've never been angry with my own brother and sister in my biological family, let alone a brother or sister in the Christian family, let alone a brother or sister in the human family. We're not supposed to be angry. Well, I guess Jesus knows we do get angry at times. because otherwise he wouldn't need to talk about it. This teaching of Jesus challenges us to know that what happens in our hearts is as important to God as the actions we have in the world. If a brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is telling us that God isn't just a God of law, but a God of relationship. And God cares about the relationships between God's children so much that it's even more important than worship. Well, that's kind of a lousy text to give a preacher on a Sunday morning. I'd rather tell you it's important to be in church, get your friends, y'all come, let's fill the pews. That's what it's about. No, it's about how we live our lives every day and how we treat those who are our neighbors. I wish I had a wonderful, perfectly articulated, profound sermon that could solve all the racial tensions in our country. But if that were the case, maybe I wouldn't be your preacher. Maybe I'd, you know, be entering a presidential debate with Clinton and Trump soon. The reality is, it's tough. Sometimes we live with people who are different than us, and we don't understand them, and they don't understand us, and we get crosswise of one another, and we mess things up. And guess what? That means we still need the church. We still need God. We still need Jesus. Part of why Charlotte, North Carolina has exploded this week isn't just because an African-American man was shot by a police officer, but it's because a few years ago, the same thing happened and the community never really had a chance to heal. And it's because it didn't happen just in Charlotte, but it happened in Ferguson and Chicago and Dallas and too many places to name. So the reality is we live in a broken world. We live in a place where there are people who, when they don't understand someone else and they're afraid of someone else, they decide that violence is the solution. So they pick up a gun and they take someone else's life. No wonder Jesus says, don't get angry with each other. It starts right there. The shooting that makes the news is the end of the problem. The beginning is what happens in our hearts. So on a Sunday morning, we show up at church and we bring our offering and we listen to the scripture and we come to the table. And yet someplace in our lives, for each and every one of us, there's a relationship that needs some healing. This morning, I invite you to think about a relationship in your own life. Maybe it's someone in your family. Maybe it's a neighbor you've had some tension with. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone you don't even know personally, but just thinking about them makes you uncomfortable. When we talk about reconciliation, what we're talking about is healing broken relationships. So let's be real this morning. And each of us think about a relationship in our life that is not as good as it should be. And then spend some time this week praying about what we can do to be reconciled. In Matthew 5, the word in Greek that's translated as be reconciled. In Greek, dialazo means to reconcile. Dialagetho, I'm probably not even getting the connotation right of that verb tense, but it means to be reconciled. There are several places in Scripture. When we read in English, we find the word reconciliation or reconcile, but oddly enough, in Greek, that word only shows up here in Matthew. The one place it shows up in Scripture. And it has a connotation behind it that it's hard to get at in English. So several translators use the word reconcile, but it doesn't just mean wholeness or a healing of a broken relationship. It also means to make something new, to turn around, which makes me think of the Greek word for sin. Often refers to missing the mark. It's actually an archery term. And to repent means to turn around, to turn away from your sin. And so in talking about reconciliation, there is something that calls us, in this one word, to turn around our lives and try to do something new. If you've been living in a relationship that's been broken for a long time, probably whatever you've been doing isn't going to fix it. So it's time to turn around and try something new. The good news is that Jesus helps us on that journey. This week I invite you to think not just about a broken relationship, but also about a good one. Think about a relationship in your life that gives you joy. Think about a person that just thinking about that person makes you smile. Think about a relationship that has taught you something important, that's given you healing and hope and help and wholeness in your life. And give thanks to God for that relationship. And then try on your own somehow to bridge the gap between what you know of as being a right relationship and what your experience is being broken. How can you bring some of the wholeness you know into the place of brokenness in your life? The reality is, in reconciliation, it's not something one person can do. Forgiveness, to be complete, takes two people. True forgiveness must be offered and accepted. Sometimes we can only do our half. We can offer forgiveness or ask for forgiveness, and sometimes the other person isn't ready to respond in kind. So that circle can't be completed, but we can build our half of the bridge, reaching out. It is significant that reconciliation is so important. We're supposed to do it even before we come to worship. Maybe that's because God knows when we are really broken inside and we can't love one another, that we're not ready to love God either. So God invites us to come and to be loved. And once we know that Jesus truly loves us, not because we're good, not because we've got the right color of skin or the right car, the right house, not because we did something that pleased God. Jesus loves us just because that's who he is. He died for us even while we were sinners. While we were still broken, he gave himself for the wholeness of the world. When we receive that kind of love, it's easier for at least a little bit of it to overflow into other relationships in our lives and in our world. The protection promised in Psalm 1, that the snare of the fowler will never capture you, that protection is real. But it's not just for me or for you. It's for all of God's children. And part of our calling, part of our challenge as followers of Christ is to share that good news with others. Even even with those with whom we're not yet reconciled. God loves them. And by God's grace, so can we, in some small way, until the glory of Christ comes in full. May you be reconciled, one to another, and to God, our Savior. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is Living for Jesus, number 610 in your hymnal. We'll sing the first and last verses. If there is anyone here this morning who is looking for a church home, who has felt lost or alone, who is longing to have Jesus in your life in a more tangible way, we would invite you to come forward as we stand and sing. I would remind you that there is a time of fellowship after worship downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's coffee and refreshments, a chance to visit one with another. And during that time, the deacons will also have a meeting to talk about our Thanksgiving dinner. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Oh God, we pray for reconciliation in our world and in our own lives. We give thanks for those relationships that are whole and healing. We pray that your light might spread through them to others, through us to others. Bless us now, O God. Cause your face to shine upon us and your spirit to dwell within us as we go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
A mighty fortress is our God.